Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, Scotland has become the first country in the world to provide free and universal access to period products. The Act making this law passed unanimously through the Scottish Parliament last night and comes at the end of a four-year campaign. One of the women who led that campaign is the Labour MSP, Monica Lennon. She joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Monica.
Good afternoon.
And congratulations to you on your victory last night. In practical terms, Monica, what does this mean for women and girls and people who menstruate in Scotland?
Thank you very much. It means that there will be a universal system of access to free period products to everyone who needs them, regardless of their circumstance. The bill is in two parts. The first part addresses education settings, so schools, colleges and universities will have to provide the products in law. Now, that's already happening in most places due to a campaign in Scotland and the cooperation of the Scottish Government, but that progress will be locked into legislation now. And in terms of universal access to free period products, local authorities, so our local councils, will be required to do that, and there will be national guidance, but schemes could differ. So what happens in Edinburgh might look a little bit different from what happens in the Highlands. But I know there's been some excellent work in Ireland already to roll out initiatives like that. I think back in 2018, Dublin City Council did work. With, you know, leisure centres and so on. So it's great to see that there's campaigning, not just here in Scotland, but in other parts of the world. And I'm really keen now to work with campaigners globally on this.
So, but in terms of the Act itself, it would be local authority, it would be public buildings that the availability will be in.
Local authorities will be the main delivery partner. And that was something that the local authorities asked for themselves, because they wanted to be, I suppose, in charge of what would work best in their area. So there's been a lot of good collaboration between the third sector and voluntary groups with local government and with national government, and as well as all our education providers. So it's something that's really taken grip in Scotland, and we believe now that we can end period poverty and the indignity of that, and really start to think about periods in a more positive way, and to promote menstrual education and well-being too.
Now, when you started this campaign, you and some of your colleagues started this campaign 4 years ago. Now, I didn't mention it was a unanimous vote last night. The feeling didn't seem to be unanimous 4 years ago. So there must have been quite a profound attitudinal change that went on.
Yes, I think it's fair to say it's been a journey. And initially, some people were quite sceptical and didn't really believe that period poverty was real. They look at Scotland and, you know, there's a lot of wealth in the country. You know, people are doing okay, but there's a lot of hidden poverty. It's the same in Ireland. It's the same everywhere. So there was a bit of a job to do to persuade people, including a lot of men, that this was real. But once we started to create a platform for people to tell their stories, some doing so anonymously, it became apparent that there was a real need. And we had young girls missing out on school, single mums going without sanitary products because they were prioritising their children first. So some really sad stories. And for other people, it wasn't always about financial resource, it was about disabilities, it was about health issues. Some women who'd experienced domestic violence and really bad controlling relationships also said that they struggled to get access to products. So it really, I think, opened our eyes to some of the inequalities that women and girls are still facing today. But this year we managed to rescue the bill back in February, because at that point, the Scottish Government and the Scottish National Party and the Scottish Conservatives did not support the general principles. They felt that the legislation was too premature, it would be too expensive. But there was a lot of political, skill involved in getting it over the line. And of course, when COVID happened, and we found ourselves living through the pandemic, there was a realisation that we're facing both a public health crisis and an economic crisis, and periods don't stop in a pandemic. So we just pulled together really to collaborate, to work cross-party and to get this over the line. And I think people in Scotland are feeling really proud.
Has COVID exacerbated period poverty?
I would say that COVID has made it more difficult for people to access period products. We had made great progress because young people in school and in college could access products. And then when COVID happened, young people were at home. There was issues for families who were shielding. Shops were closed for a time. So although essential stores like supermarkets and pharmacies were still open, as you know, there were long queues. It was just difficult to access the essentials in life. So that's been an issue. And there's been some challenges in our more rural areas or island communities. But also we've seen some real positives, actually. There's been a lot of innovation. So when our students went back to university in September and, you know, worryingly, when COVID started to spread through student halls and student flats, people had to self-isolate and they were stuck in, for some of them, in strange cities for the first time. So we had colleges and universities delivering period products to students, which was fantastic. Mm. So again, you know, people are looking to Scotland, but I've taken inspiration from people in other countries, including in Ireland. I mean, it's really great that Homeless Period Ireland backed our bill back in February, and we're one of over 100 supporters of the bill. And I've worked really closely with the Homeless Period Ireland team to offer my advice to them, but actually we've encouraged one another, and that's really been the experience throughout these last 4 years or so. It's been an issue that people have really taken to their hearts.
Mm. And the effect of the bill, plus also the campaign, has that filtered into the private sector? Now, if you walk into a McDonald's or a cinema, might it be quite likely you might get free period products in the toilet there as well, the same way you get toilet paper?
Sure. So it's not happening absolutely everywhere, but in terms of the private sector and sports clubs and football stadiums, you know, we have seen some real progress in that area. I think those businesses and employers that get that this is an issue of health and well-being and dignity know that if they do this and they offer these products without a fuss, that their staff, their customers, their clients feel valued. So when I launched the consultation on the bill, I partnered with Glasgow Airport and they agreed to provide free pads and tampons at the airport toilets. And that was quite powerful, actually, because it meant anyone arriving in Scotland, arriving in Glasgow Airport, got the benefit of the product. And it was a really welcoming message. We had the same with our main train station. So again, anyone travelling into Edinburgh could get free tampons and pads in the toilets. And that was really welcome because beforehand, the vending machine was really expensive. And again, not everyone carries the correct loose change on them. So you might have heard about the On the Ball campaign, which started with Glasgow Celtic Football Club. So it's a fantastic campaign by three young women who are working class grassroots football fans, Erin, Orla and Michaela from On The Ball. You'll get them on Twitter. And they went to Celtic Football Club and lobbied their own club to say this would be great to do this here in Glasgow. So Celtic embraced that. And now I think they have about 140 clubs, not just in Scotland and the UK, but in other parts of the world too. So that's taken on a life of its own because, you know, everyone, you know, loves the football and can enjoy it, but it is still, in many respects, still quite a male-dominated sphere. So again, if you're at Parkhead, at Celtic Park, you nip to the loo and there's free pads and tampons and, you know, no one's complaining about it now. And actually, I think it's helped men and boys talk about periods more openly with wives, girlfriend, partners, daughters, colleagues in the workplace.
Yeah, on that point, when you started your campaign, did you encounter a general "we don't want to talk about this" sense? You know, a kind of an icky reaction to it?
A little bit of that to begin with. So the Scottish Parliament is 20 years old, and as you say, I came in 2016, and I led a debate in the Holyrood Chamber on the issue of period poverty, and I was talking about, you know, what happens when people don't have the right pads and tampons. They have to improvise and stuff their pants with toilet roll, use rags, and, you know, just things that are not pleasant to hear. And yeah, I think it was a little bit awkward for the men and for the women. And yeah, I feel there's been so many debates and discussions now here in the Scottish Parliament about it that everyone's got used to it. And it feels like we have overcome a lot of barriers. I've certainly noticed on social media that it's just talked about much more openly. And for me, the real difference is that young people, including young girls who are primary school age, because some children start their periods at 9-10 years of age. So it's just really great that, I suppose, it's become mainstream. You know, periods have always been normal, but it's not been part of our normal discourse. You know, when my grandmother's generation were buying pads, it was kind of under the counter and no one talked about it, and it was a private issue. And, you know, I've met so many women who've had to put up with really, really painful, really sort of abnormal issues around their health. So again, periods are normal, but, you know, when women and girls experience severe period pain that makes them really ill, or they have a condition like endometriosis, which is so common, but it takes years and years and years to get a diagnosis. So that's why I think the menstrual education side of it is so important, to just talk about it in the classroom, talk about it in the workplace. Whether it's menstruation or the menopause, let's just talk about it. And if we need to support each other, we do that. And no one should feel embarrassed. So I think this is a campaign that, you know, can travel around the world, and I do hope that people sign up to it.
Are period products taxed in Scotland? Actually, as a matter of interest, is there a VAT on them, I mean?
So VAT, that's been a thorny issue for a long, long time. So over the years, that reduced and reduced, I think, from sort of 20% down to 5%. And that's a reserved issue for the UK Parliament. So earlier this year, the UK government took action to effectively wipe that out and to cover that cost. There's a... once Brexit happens, which let's not really go there, but
that's another
once
half hour.
Brexit happens, that's kind of the end of that. But what the UK government did, they kind of wiped out the issue of that, and they also put money, because, you know, people think, well, you know, well done to Monica Lennon and Scottish Labour, but we've actually seen the Scottish Conservatives and the Tories in the UK Parliament come a long way on this. So, you know, they're not usually in favour of free universal access to anything, and, you know, people have embraced it. You know, not everyone's maybe at the same point. So Boris Johnson, the Tories, haven't fully signed up to free provision for everyone, but they have for schools, which is great. It's a great place to start.
Well, there you go. This interview is ending on a positive note for Boris Johnson. I never could have predicted that. Monica, congratulations again. Thanks very much for talking to us today. That's Monica Lennon there from a Scottish parliamentarian. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break after that. Farming.
Moncrief on News Talk.